Welcome to the MS Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source of inspiring information concerning multiple sclerosis, fitness, and health. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people living with MS and fitness professionals worldwide on the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. I'm Maureen Manley, your host, exercise scientist, and director of integrated wellness here at the MS Fitness Challenge. Today, our inspirational guest is Cheryl Heil. Cheryl has been running marathons since 2000. Her life changed in 2006 when a nagging injury turned out to be MS. Due to the physical changes like foot drop, Cheryl struggled with keeping her exercise goals alive. She persisted despite her neurologist saying, "Lower your expectations." Cheryl got a brace called an ankle-foot orthosis, also known as AFO, to help her run without the fear of falling. To date, she has completed 56 marathons since her diagnosis. She is the first person with MS to run 7 marathons on 7 continents, running them all in just 12 months. During her global adventure, Cheryl met incredible people with MS that are also runners or want to become runners. She built a team called Run a Mile in My Shoes in 2018, and in just 3 years, they have grown to over 300 teammates representing 19 countries. Their goal is to encourage people with MS to keep pushing forward to the best of their abilities. Cheryl, welcome to the show. It is fantastic to have you with us.
Hi, Maureen. Thank you so much for having me here. This is so great. I'm so excited.
You know, let's dive into this because your story is so amazing and so exciting and so empowering. You know, marathons, you've done quite a few of them. I'm wondering, just when did you start getting into marathons and what got you interested in them?
Well, it's kind of a weird reason. My husband, Brian, he was my boyfriend at the time, and he's a runner, and he would come home totally exhausted and sore after a marathon. And for some odd reason, I wanted to know that same feeling too. So I signed up for a marathon, and I ended up loving the long training runs and just loving the race itself, that I was hooked on running after my first marathon.
Wow, that's great. It's like, okay, you're in pain. I want to know what that feels like.
It's weird.
It is weird. It's called empathy. And I can see the beginning of your empathy journey for sure. So in 2006, you felt like you were dealing with a sports injury, which many athletes at marathon levels experience. Can you tell us what was going on with you and what you were dealing with?
Yeah, in January of 2006, I started getting these really terrible electric shocks in my right arm. And my arm was also really numb, but itchy at the same time. So I went to my primary care physician, and he thought that maybe I just pinched a nerve while weightlifting, and which actually sounded really odd to me because I only lift like 8-pound dumbbells. I don't know why that's so.
I hurt myself lifting 8 pounds.
Exactly. But he wanted to stabilize my arm. So he wrapped me up in an ACE bandage, and he told me to come back in 2 weeks. But during those 2 weeks, the pain just got worse and I couldn't sleep. I was a total basket case. And when I went back to my primary care physician for the follow-up, the pain had not gone away, and he decided to just write me a prescription for nerve numbing medication.
Wow.
Which was fine because it at least made me drowsy and I could fall asleep. And eventually the pain went away, but then with relapsing MS, as you know, the symptoms came back, and eventually I took nerve conduction tests and an MRI. And when the MRI results came back, it said I had lesions in my brain and in my cervical spine. So I was referred to a general neurologist, but that general neurologist said that he needed more clinical evidence to diagnose me with MS. And I didn't agree with that. And I went straight away to an MS specialist and was diagnosed with MS in October of 2006.
Oh, wow. So,
long 10-month journey.
Yeah, that is a long 10-month journey. When I had some similar stuff going on. It wasn't similar to what you went through, but just as an athlete, you think there's something going on with your body that you've done to yourself, and that it can be fixed. And that the last thing probably you were thinking, I know it was the last thing I was thinking, that it was, you know, something like MS.
Yeah, exactly.
Holy smoke. So you were, did you continue to run when you had this nerve pain in your arm going on?
Yes, I did. I just took the ACE bandage off so I could move my arms. But I did continue to run.
Okay. And so running at that time wasn't a problem.
No, it wasn't, because MS had not affected my leg yet.
Okay. Okay. So this is 2006 when you found out, and you're still running. You went, like, I'm sure it was devastating to find out you had MS. And then, you know, time marched on a little bit. And then you reminded me when we initially connected that we had actually met before. Can you tell our listeners what was going on with you at the time?
Yes. So at the time, well, from about 2009 to 2010, I was going through a really bad disease course. I had 4 exacerbations in just 12 months. And I wasn't happy with my neurologist. So Brian and I decided to move to a new place with more progressive MS care. And in June of 2010, we moved from San Diego, California, up to Seattle, Washington. And when I got up here, I contacted the MS Society in Seattle, and they recommended that I take your series of classes about living well with MS and being resilient despite having the disease. And that was just such an important for me to take those classes, because I was so stressed out about moving to a new city, adjusting to a new city, and trying to find a job.
And a lot going on.
Yeah, a lot. And I had just started Tysabri, and I didn't know how I would tell a potentially new employer that I needed a day off every month, every 4 mm-hmm. weeks. So I was just really stressed out, and my mind wasn't always in the classes, and I didn't really talk or contribute to class discussion because I didn't want to cry. I was so fragile, and I feel like I was the worst student ever.
Oh, I love that. That's what you said to me in the email when I first contacted you, that you felt like you were my worst student ever. And look at you now. I'm like, yeah, not the worst student ever. That's for sure.
So I was listening, though.
You must have been listening, right? Well, that was a good course.
It was excellent.
You know, it's, the reason I asked you to share that story is because we all go through rough patches in our diagnosis, in our life. And you were going through a rough patch then. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you came out of it to really shine, and not that, you know, MS isn't continuing to be challenging for any of us, but that was a rough patch, that, and you had so much transition going on and so much stress. And that you came out of it. And so many people need to hear that, you know, not only did you come out of a rough patch, you've run 56 marathons since then. So thank you for sharing. So I'm curious about when you first sought out an orthotist to create this custom made ankle foot. It's called an orthosis. You see an orthotist, and they create an orthosis. Or
exactly.
Brace.
Yes, brace.
So when did you first do this? So when did you first like go, I'm going to see if somebody can make a brace to help me with my foot drop issue?
Yeah. Well, when I started tripping and falling while running, I didn't know yet that I had foot drop. I went through that another cycle of thinking that I had another sports injury. And I saw a lot of doctors, like a sports doctor and a podiatrist. And we tried things like physical therapy and acupuncture. But I continued to trip and fall even after a long period of rest. But it wasn't until a routine appointment with my neurologist when she told me I have foot drop. And that's when she told me that I need to lower my expectations.
Fighting
words. So I went to my podiatrist because he was nice and he believed in me. And he wrote me a prescription for an ankle foot orthosis or an AFO because he said maybe that brace might be able to help me to maybe not necessarily continue to run, but to be as active as possible. And then through that prescription, I was referred to an orthotist.
Okay. And so what did the orthotist do for you?
Well, we talked about my goals, my aspirations, the fact that I still wanted to keep on running. And he suggested that the best thing to do would be to get a custom ankle foot orthosis because a custom brace would be, more, it would be customized to my
To
leg
you,
so
yeah.
that to me so that I could try to continue to stay active and run. And he also suggested a carbon fiber AFO because at the time, this was back in 2007, 2008, and most people were still getting plastic AFOs, but my orthotist really suggested that carbon fiber so that I could try to keep pushing forward and try to run.
Cool. So you got a brace, a custom fitted brace for yourself. So what sort of learning curve and adapting curve went into working with the brace so you could run marathons with it?
Well, people look at me and they think that it's easy to run with an AFO, but there's so much hard work into learning how to run with it. And but first and foremost, you have to work with your orthotist to make sure that the brace is runnable. I don't know if that's the word, but that you can run with the brace. Because my very first carbon fiber AFO, even though it was custom made, just a funny story, the foot plate of that first AFO had edges that cradled my foot. And the outer edge pressed on my bones. So it was really painful when I made right-hand turns. So in order to negotiate a right-hand turn, I would pivot to my left and spin around 180 degrees to go right. And so
That seems a
my,
little labor intensive.
yeah, it was. And when I told my orthotist, he was just, oh my gosh, well, come in. I need to make adjustments. And so he heated the foot plate and widened the foot for me so that it wouldn't be painful to make right-hand turns. And so he's just, you have to have this open conversation with your orthotist and hopefully have an orthotist who is willing to make the adjustments. And my orthotist, Aram Mirzayan, he's amazing. And he's every year I get a new AFO and he continues to make adjustments, whether it's switching out or making special pads because of bruising or even beveling the strut because it's cutting into my shoe. So it's really nice to have a person who is on your side and can work with you and doesn't make you feel embarrassed that you're going in for the third or fourth time to get adjustments.
That is so great. I had a brace made, a custom made carbon fiber brace made, and I didn't put nearly the effort into it as you did. And I could see just what needs to change. I just kind of got frustrated and went, I'm sticking to cycling.
And
And I have it,
that's so
but
easy to that's easy to do though, to just forget it. I'm gonna stick to cycling. I'm awesome at it,
Well, thank you. But you really helped me to see the light around. It's not like you or anyone else gets a custom-made brace and then you can go and do marathons. It's not that simple.
No,
It is a process, and it's a process
exactly.
you need to stick with. I mean, it's hard enough to train for marathons, but you have a whole nother level of tending to what's necessary to run a marathon. And it's really inspirational because, well, I just see in you so much that you don't cave, you don't give up, you're going to stick with
No,
it and just find a way,
yeah, and
which
you
I
have to
just
be
love. You
patient. Yeah.
just find a way. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you just people just have to be patient and just realize that through practice, 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 you'll soon get it. Your gait will change and become more attuned to the AFO. And I mean, for me, I feel naked without my AFO now. It's weird
I bet.
to go out and try to run even just a mile. So it's a learning process. And, you know, with our pathways, your brain will figure out how to let your foot know how to move and how to lift your leg so that you can push on and run well with the AFO.
Yeah, I just love that. Thank you so much for sharing that, because your brain body needs the time to adapt, and what that takes is repetition and sticking with it, and just again finding a way. So in the spirit of finding a way, what sort of advice would you give somebody that was interested in getting a custom-made brace?
Well, first of all, it is durable excuse me, durable medical equipment. So it does
Okay.
require a prescription from a medical professional. And of course, insurance will dictate where you can get your AFO. But I do really suggest to people to call around the different clinics within their insurance network just to see what the orthotist experiences are with providing AFOs for patients who are sports-minded and want to stay active, and also ask if they can be fitted for a custom orthosis, because sometimes those off-the-shelf AFOs might be uncomfortable or even painful for more dynamic activities like running or maybe jumping or lateral, quick lateral movements like tennis or basketball or whatever. So, really, somebody who can fit you with a custom orthosis. And I think it's a really big bonus if the clinic is large enough to have AFO testers from different manufacturers, just to see what might be more comfortable. And I think of it like buying running shoes. You want to stick that AFO tester into your shoe before you commit to that one model. Because if you are getting a custom, then you think, oh my gosh, I'm spending all this time and money to get a custom. And it would be really nice if you can at least test something out first, at least even if it's only inside the clinic.
Right. Oh my gosh, that's such great advice. There's a whole world out there that, I mean, when you're empowered with the information, then you can go after it. And to know
Exactly.
that it's a process, but there's great rewards on the other side.
Oh, definitely.
And you're an incredible inspiration, is just sticking to it and finding a way, and making it happen. So you ran seven marathons on seven continents in 12 months, and the only person with MS to do such thing. So what inspired you to do this?
Well, when I was diagnosed, I had so much support from the MS Society, and I made so many friends at the society that I wanted to do a special fundraiser for them. And I've done bike MS, but I totally suck at cycling, and I've done walk MS, but I prefer to run. And so I was trying to think a lot about what I wanted to do to give back to the MS community and to do it in a way that really appealed to me. So it was after a really fun 4th of July 5K in 2015. I was celebrating at the beer garden, and after a couple of pints, it dawned
I have a really good idea.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I thought of it. That's exactly when I thought of it. And Brian, my husband, he runs all of my marathons with me, and fortunately, he had beers too, and so he was totally in. And he said, "Yes, let's do this." And just after, of course, I had to do research though afterwards, just to make sure that no one else has with MS has done this. And after I started looking into it, and once I started planning, I just got more and more excited. And to make an even bigger impact, I decided to run them all in 12 months.
That's not enough. Seven and seven continents. Oh my gosh. So when you did this, what was the most challenging part of running these
Oh.
seven marathons around the country,
Yeah.
around the globe in the seven continents?
Well, really the biggest challenge is probably what you might be thinking, and that was the marathon in Antarctica. There was a lot of stress in preparation to get there, just because I did have to do fundraising just for that, because the registration fee was $8,000 per person.
Wow.
Yeah, it was huge. And having to buy cold weather running clothes, because we lived in San Diego and I needed more than just a long sleeve shirt. And even things like buying sleeping bags for 0 degree weather, because it was my very first, we camped in Antarctica and it was my very first time camping ever. And
The first time camping in Antarctica.
was just the thought of it was so stressful. But while we were in Antarctica, I did have trouble with the terrain, because it wasn't icy, but it was all trail and there were huge rocks, and there was a part of the route with a long stretch of boulders, and the course was out and back 6 times. So my AFO really banged up my leg, and I had a lot of bruises and just huge blisters on my toes and in places that I didn't even know could blister. And so we had to do towards the end a lot of walking, because I was just in so much pain. And because the AFO that I was wearing back then was pretty rigid and not flexible. But we were on the positive side. We were lucky with the weather. It was about 30 degrees and not very windy. So it was nice. It was a nice cool, like a nice cool Seattle morning for winter.
For winter. So of the seven, when you did the Antarctic, the marathon in Antarctica, which number was that? What number marathon was that?
That was number four.
Number four.
So right in the middle.
Right in the middle. So
Yeah.
you finished that one and
No.
you still had more to go.
But that was, I think, the biggest hurdle, just knowing that that was done. Then the rest were not, I don't want to say easy, but just in nicer climates.
Right. Well, relatively, right?
Relatively, exactly.
So I'm curious, what surprised you most doing this adventure? I mean, what was the most surprising things that you discovered in this really wild and crazy adventure you and Brian took on?
The thing that surprised me the most, I met a lot of people with MS, and I did some talks for MS organizations while traveling. And I was really surprised that countries like New Zealand and Japan and even South Africa, that they have never seen a carbon fiber AFO. They still prescribe plastic ones in those countries.
Oh, wow.
And I have tried to help friends in these places get carbon fiber AFOs, but their medical systems don't allow it, which was surprising to me. And just the out-of-pocket expense for them to get a carbon fiber is really big. So there are several people who really want to run, but they can't do it with their plastic AFOs. So that makes me sad at the same
Yeah,
time, but
right. And as hard as it is for you to do these marathons with these carbon fiber AFOs, that it's what I hear in this surprise that you discovered in your journey is just realizing in some ways just how lucky you are to
exactly.
live in a country where you can get these things. And it's, of course, it's not easy. Our medical system's not great
I know.
to start with.
Yes. It's
But
tough.
you can do it, and there's assistance. I know the MS Society and other MS organizations, if they hear about what you're needing to do, what it is that you want to do, there's help for
There's a
you
way.
out there, help for all of us. When I say you, I mean all of us with MS, if we really are as determined as Cheryl is. to find a way to get it done and not have to go broke in the process. People want to see you live the life that you want. So that's interesting. Can you tell us more about your team, Run a Mile Into My Shoes? I just love the name.
Yeah.
And how it is that it came about and what your team is currently up to.
Yes. So during my adventure, that's when I met all of my friends with MS who are runners. And also a lot of people told me that they didn't know that it was possible to run with MS. And well, that's another surprise that people didn't know that you could still run with MS. And I wanted to bring everybody together. So I built Run a Mile in My Shoes after the Seven Continents. And we are a group of MS warriors and our supporters, like our family members, friends, and advocates for the disease. And our very, very first event was at the Detroit Marathon, half marathon and 5K in 2018. And back then we had 55 of us met in Detroit. And we had another 41 virtual teammates from seven continents. We had a researcher in Antarctica who ran for us. And just through the years, we've rotated about the country for our events. And last year, we were all virtual, but we still managed to grow. We had 375 teammates last year. And this November, we are really hoping to reunite in Indianapolis for the marathon, half marathon, and 5K. And we will again have our virtual team. And so far, we just hit 200 teammates for this year who have committed to 2021. And so far, we represent 39 states and 16 countries.
That's just amazing.
I know. People are just so great.
Oh my God. Well, it's people are amazing. And what you created through your own experience is just amazing. So if a listener is interested in getting involved with Run a Mile in My Shoes, how can they learn more?
Oh, it's easy. There's no membership fee and there's no fundraising requirements. I just ask that people be a kind and supportive member of our community. We don't like mean people or naysayers. And if people want to join us in Indianapolis, they of course have to take care of their race registration and travel expenses. And if somebody wants to join us virtually, I just ask for a $40 donation to our fundraiser at the MS Society. And the team shirt is included for anybody who wants to join us in 2021. And the shirts are really nice.
Of course, you designed them.
And so people just have to send us an email and I can forward along all of the details and the information.
That's great. So I'll make sure I have it in the show notes, but can you tell us, is it runamileinmyshoes.com or?
Our website is runamileinmyshoes.org and our email is info@runamileinmyshoes.org.
Great. And that again will be in the show notes. Thank you. Thank you. What a great, you just have to be nice on our team. And you know, I'm part of your group and I know. I see what you guys are doing and talk about positive. It's very similar to the MS Fitness Challenge. It's just positive people cheering each other on, supporting each other and living the best lives through fitness and, you know, and going for it and understanding one another, just, you know, in the challenge of living with MS and being a go-getter.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. That's so great. So I'm curious, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Yes, that I just wanted to mention that Run a Mile in My Shoes, we're not all runners and people have joined our team at our in-person events by walking and even using a wheelchair. Some people have joined us virtually by cycling, like with you, Maureen, how you're going to be cycling for us. Yep. Some people have done swimming, rock wall climbing, paddling, even doing yoga. And one woman, one year, she did a corn maze and that was her event, her challenging event. And one woman did a color run 5K with her kids and they had a blast. So really anything goes. It's the important part of our team. Our goal is to support each other as athletes with MS and to also motivate other people to keep pushing forward and to exercise to the best of their abilities.
All inclusive. I love it. All you have to do is go for it at whatever level you can.
Yes. And be nice.
And be nice. Exactly. And be nice. And if you can't be nice, you're not invited. Oh my gosh, this is so great. And you are so amazing, Cheryl. I am so happy we got reacquainted. And now you are my, you know, this teacher's pet. You went from feeling like the worst student to the teacher's pet. So
I'm such a kiss. Just,
I'm really impressed what you've done, and not just for yourself, for really the world, and how you've motivated people and got people involved and have been, you know, radically inclusive. I mean, just, you know, the truth is some people with MS can't run, and you're saying, right, that's okay. You can still play with us. We want mm-hmm. you, and just do whatever you can and we'll support you. I think that's exactly. just fantastic. You are a warrior. That's for sure. And thank you so much for joining us on the MS Fitness Challenge podcast.
Oh, thank you so much, Maureen. It was so much fun. I so much appreciate this platform to share and to talk about Run a Mile in My Shoes, because they really are a fantastic group of people. And I hope more people will be motivated to join us. So thank you.
You're welcome. And I bet they will be. That's for sure. Expect the team to grow. Well, that's going to be a wrap for this episode. Remember, episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available to download on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Simplecast. A great way to support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the more impact we can have. As we close out, remember to visit msfitnesschallenge.com and check out all the great resources we have for you there. And be sure to get involved with our awesome MS Fitness Challenge Facebook group. To all those listening, to all the warriors with MS, thanks for listening. Keep striving, keep believing, and together we can win the fight against MS.